Beams of Darkness by Sam Gabriel. From Thanks for Playing. Read by the author. Based on the works of Andrew Hussey and Clutch. Chapter 8. Bury Your Treasure. Be Vriska. Your name is Vriska Circuit, and you're a dart, a javelin, an interuniversal ballistic missile launched straight downwards by the gravitational slingshot force of an event horizon. On the other side of that event horizon floats the hollow-eyed corpse of Lord English in a black sea of nothing. On this side whirls a city in sunset, a moon on fire, a sky in chaos around you, and you fall, the savage hooked sword appearing in your hands to cut the turbulence in two, the deep blue coat enfolding you to flap in the tumult of your wake like a Jolly Roger in a storm, announcing that whatever the fuck is going on, it is now, officially, your problem. With Vision Eightfold, you scout your trajectory and immediately see what problem you are going to solve. You'd told Rose, you had fucking told her, that just because Latch couldn't sense Terezi after the battle for the Genesis Frog, that didn't mean that the explosion had killed her. Without a fucking body to draw one of those stupid chalk outlines around, you had to assume she was still alive. And look at that, there she is, laughing like an idiot in the middle of what has to be a planet-sized mess that she expects everyone else to clean up. Sigh. She really used to be something special before she turned into a worse version of you. You can't help but hate her for it. One more dance, just one more dance, and you won't have to hate her anymore. Your pulse quickens, your smile rips your face in half, your boots crack the pavement in 8 symmetrical lines as you land in front of Terezi Pyrope. She speaks in a breathless, ecstatic, maniacal hiss of a whisper. 2 sides of the same coin! Forever! You toss your hair out of your eyes. Raise your sword, and flip the coin. Beat Dave. All around you, drones hold position while dodging your strikes, staring at you, moving with you, not advancing but not giving ground, air, whatever.
It's starting to freak me the fuck out.
Holy shit, Dave, something just fell out of the black hole.
Ain't that, like, impossible?
Yes, so is flying, Dave.
She's got jokes.
What I have is questions. Oh, God! It's going apeshit. The black hole, its density is fluctuating like... fuck! It's like it's trying to disperse and stay coherent at the same time. God, it's violent. It hurts to even interact with it. This is so weird.
Yeah, so is being half dog, Jade.
He's got jokes.
What I have is questions.
Be the Sylph of Space. Current directive. Maintain singularity integrity at all costs. Warning. Directive now exceeds operational tolerances. Requesting new directive from COO. COO currently rebooting. Requesting new directive from CEO. CEO currently unresponsive. Continuing to comply. Warning. Continued compliance will result in catastrophic failure of wetware components. Requesting new directive from COO. COO currently rebooting. Requesting new directive from CEO. CEO currently unresponsive. Continuing to comply. B. Rose, your mind races.
Hey, so Dirk, what the fuck is going on down there?
Vriska Circuit has engaged Terezi Pyrope.
Ain't that, like, impossible?
Yes. Yes, it is, Dirk. Do we help her? If I know anything about Vriska Circuit, it's that she finishes stories on her own terms. It's how she's most effective. The sword of Marquis Spinneret Mindfang, pearlescent after alchemization with Kaledvok, traces entire cobwebs of cuts in the air with what appear to be single slashes. Is she more effective than a dragon, Dirk? The sword of Legislacerator Neophyte Redglare flashes the setting sun off its alien metal in patterns too rapidly complex to be followed, observable only by their profound effect on the ongoing duel.
Game Girl couldn't aim for just one, babe.
I'm aware, Dirk.
Babe!
Dirk!
Dirk inclines his head to you.
Good, you're learning.
Spare me and answer my question.
But you're still an idiot.
Oh, joy. The idea that a dragon, figurative, could be slain by a dragon, literal, is indeed a compelling one. But it's a question of motivation. You stifle a sigh, speak quickly, and hope he does the same.
Regarding which goddamned character, Dirk?
All. I believe that if we had time to consult her, Vriska Circuit would happily consent to such a pyrrhic and certainly heroic death.
but we don't have time to consult her. Moreover, your sword objects, and Game Girl is her sword. I doubt that Terezi Pyrope's death at the cost of 2 personal betrayals would be sufficiently just. Within a fucking tries, it probably would be. Again, you're learning. But burning someone alive even once, let alone repeatedly, is not the kind of thing Rose Lalande would do. You don't goddamn know that. No, I don't. But I do know, and this is thankfully much more important, that when Vriska Circuit steals the spotlight, that spotlight has a way of staying stolen. And in actual answer to your question, yes, I think she is more effective than a dragon. We hold. You hold. A masterpiece of close-quarters combat unfolds before you. You think you've gotten good over the years? Vriska Circuit hasn't had years. Whatever is going on here, that is blatantly clear. This is Vriska as she was. This is Vriska as she was the last time you saw her 45 years ago. Dear God, she's 20. 10 sweeps. Indeed. Nepeta, did you know this was going to happen? Nepeta Lejean shakes her head furiously, then stops herself and looks stricken, seemingly as flung back in time by Vriska's appearance as you are. Her answer comes out in a self-revelatory quaver.
Anything above 0, Nepeta. Any chance at all. That's what Terezi said to me after I predicted this would happen. 20 sweeps ago. But I didn't know I was doing that, and Terezi didn't either, Rose. She thought I was going to die.
What are you talking about?
Fancy Santa. It was about Terezi getting quadrant advice from the Rogue of Heart.
Quadrant advice? About what?
About Vriska Circuit. My God, that's all any of this has ever been about.
What? You can't possibly be serious.
He is.
Nepeta, she has murdered millions.
Billions. Trillions. She's almost 2 million sweeps old, Rose.
What? What?
John could pounce all over the timeline. Take people with him, change things, get different results.
Like a retcon?
That's what Terezi calls it. She redid the session over and over and over.
When did John get that power?
Rose, don't you see? Our John didn't. But that man floating in the tank over there wasn't our John, was he, Nepeta?
She shakes her head.
How many iterations back? How many, Nepeta?
Suddenly the air seems to change. It feels less thick. The pressure somehow less claustrophobic. Jade's voice crackles over the comm.
Rose! Rose, a bunch of shit just happened at the same time. The black hole is gone, the interference is gone, and Durst is falling out of the sky. I'm gonna shrink it and capture log it.
There might be more forces available for launch.
It doesn't matter, Rose. It's falling too fast. I'm doing it.
Aethem. The gargantuan sphere, which had indeed been getting closer, shrinks so fast it essentially vanishes. Wait. Jade, you said the interference is gone. Can you and Dave check on the spire? Oh, shit. Prospect!
Prospect! If Durst was falling, it must be too! But... wait, what about ballistics and first aid?
The drones are holding fire and Mother has a tourniquet.
You'll be okay, baby? Baby? Rose, do you have eyes on her?
You glance around. Not at this second, but there's no time! You almost remind her that you can't die, but it wouldn't comfort her any more than it does you. Jade, now. That is an order!
Aethem, find the kids, Rose!
Aethem, good hunting. You can just barely make out a tiny, twin crackle of witchcraft near where Durst's moon had been, leaving nothing in the sky but millions of drones running evasive patterns against the Durstite fleet, and nothing on the ground but a masterpiece starring Terezi Pyrope and Vriska Circuit. Be Jane. Your name is Jane Crocker.
And I wish it wasn't.
You are huddled in a corner of a gray room.
But why am I still anywhere?
John floats in a tank that you helped design.
Why does he get to stay dead?
Your hands are young, your godhood is new,
and my mind is an ancient and terrible thing that should never have existed. I drift naked in an ocean of fathomless depth and impossible pressure, and I should drown, should freeze, should be crushed, should cease and be forgotten.
But suicide isn't a just death when remembering is worse.
I learned that the hard way.
Did you?
No.
You didn't.
Terezi Pyrope has never allowed me to die.
Because she feared what you would become?
Because she needed what I had become.
And what had you become?
Her best friend. And she became mine.
You scream, soundlessly and forever, while Jake English and Roxy Lalonde huddle around you and say words that do not and will never matter.
Be the Sylph of Space.
Logging catastrophic wetware failure number 5382. Classification, null. Cause of failure, normal wear and tear. Initiating wetware checksum. Error. Anomaly detected. Error. Error. Your. Error. Your name is. Error. 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 Error.
Be Roxy.
There are a lot of people in your life who are important to you. Basically, everyone in your life is important to you, is family, really. You have two sons and a son-in-law. You have two daughters and a daughter-in-law. You have two grandkids. You have a brother-in-law, basically, and a wife. And you have Dirk. Dirk is the only one who you can vent to, even about Rose, even about Jade, without feeling like a burden. You are the only one who doesn't have to win an argument with Dirk for him to listen to you. Dirk didn't let you give up on Rose. You didn't let him give up on himself. You and Dirk have been up against terrible, apocalyptic odds on this exact planet, against this exact company, for your entire lives. Dirk is your best friend. Jane, on the other hand, is your BFF. And that matters every bit as much to you. 48 years be goddamned to hell.
Janie, please.
Her head lolls.
Jane, whatever it is that Terezi has done to you, you must fight it.
Her eyes dart, unblinking, not seeing either of you. I'll see you at work tomorrow. I'll see you at work tomorrow. I'll see you at work tomorrow. Well, doesn't that sentence send you hurtling 28 years back in time? Latch dying in front of you, air compressions, Terezi whispering in your ear.
Roxy needs you, Jane.
Back to the present, and ow, and ow, and fucking ow, and thank you so much for the reminder, Jake.
Jake, it's not even fucking about that.
It's a little bit about that, Roxy.
I really don't give a shit, I'm not even left-handed.
He goggles at you.
Roxy, you would do bloody anything to avoid putting your problems on someone else, wouldn't you?
Haha, silly stupid Jake, I was wrong about everything. Haha, ow.
I think she has more problems than me right now, man.
He slaps a hand on each of your shoulders, then winces and pulls them back when you double over, your throat rasping on a gulp of air you didn't mean to take. Show her.
God damn it, Jake. Roxy, it could help her. God damn it, Jake. Anything might snap her out of the fugue, Roxy. Jade often benefits from a problem to solve. God damn it, Jake.
You lift your arm, gingerly, shakily. And when the stump of your left hand rises into your own view, the shaking becomes a full body convulsion. Nepeta hadn't done a bad job. It was quick, clean, an oval. You stop looking at it. Jane does not.
Janie, not gonna lie, it really, really hurts. Fucking please, Janie. Whatever she did to you, I can help you. You're my BFF.
Her eyes widen fractionally, and she reaches for your arm, hesitantly.
Please, can you help me? Come on. What do you say, Janie?
Her eyes fly open, then squeeze shut, and so does the rest of her. She rocks back and forth. Your stump pounds with agony as words flow from her like booze from a bottle.
What do you say, Jane? What do you say, Jane? What do you say, Jane?
Be Arqueous Sprite. Reboot complete. Be Rose. Millions of drones turn as one and resume fire. The air once again feels thick and heavy. An electric shudder runs through the massive, winged skeleton coiled around the roof of Crocker Corp HQ. A rhythmic, digital cacophony pierces the sky.
Be Latula. The robot dragon Lucis Things, spasms and writhes. Its segmented tail screeches back and forth, clearing out walls and pushing the debris to the sides. One bone-rattling crash consumes the four computers on one side of the room and they collapse through the floor. You remember with a pang that there had been children sitting at them. Why had no one gone over to help them? Wait. What are you talking about?
Oh my god, are we okay?
We're fine, girl.
No. Damn it. Fuck. Never mind.
This is so fucked up.
Got any pointers for what's coming?
Watch, I don't know what's coming. We had a plan, sort of. But we didn't know Vriska would show up, so now I just know stuff. And most of it is stuff I can't tell you because your poker face sucks.
I don't know what a poker face is, but it's chill. Dirk protocol, girl.
Whatever, Latch. What fucking ever. We need to talk to Nepeta. I don't know what to do next.
With a howl of metal and a spray of lightning, the dragon drone hurls itself off the roof, taking your Lucis over the side with it.
Game girl!
Rose grabs your frond, tugging you back from the edge. Natula, you have to stay here. Focus on shielding Vriska.
I can do both at the same time, babe!
If your concentration falters for even an instant, Vriska will die, and this is the end, Natula. This is it!
Zas, is this it? It's supposed to be. I hope it is. I just want this to be over, Latch. I'm so scared.
Babe, if this is the end, can we just fucking end it? All of us together?
A hear-duct rupturing blast of sound rips your attention to a building across the street as half of it crumbles into another black hole, which then disappears with another hear-duct rupturing blast of sound. Another one forms and dies in open air in the opposite direction, then another.
Babe, let's fucking end this!
I'm suddenly inclined to agree. Everyone, form up! Dirk flashes to Rose's other side. Nepeta tears past all three of you, pounces toward the melee with a gleeful hiss. A hand catches her in mid-pounce and snaps her neck.
Oh my god!
Lyshawn!
A bell tolls. Aqueous Sprite drops her body in a heap, cocks and rolls his head. An 8-bit approximation of a popping joint plays several identical times. Rose gapes.
I fucking said form up!
Two squadrons of drones fly directly into Aqueous Sprite's chest, vanishing like a magic trick. He swells, expands. Additional arms sprout from his shoulders, each holding a different weapon.
No!
Black holes open and close in the distance, swallowing drone and Dursite alike.
No!
On what is now the roof of Crocker Corp HQ, Terezi Pyrope and Vriska Circuit continue their duel. Uninterrupted.
No!
Between them and you floats a 15-foot-tall freak with 10 arms and muscles for days and days and days.
I'm sorry, I'm afraid I can't let you do that.
No, 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 no! Latch, he was supposed to be on our side! Fuck! I wasn't supposed to tell you that!
For an instant, the millions of drones in the sky swirl around to spell out the word. Suckers.
Not that it fucking even matters anymore. Fuck, 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 fuck. What the fuck do we do now?
You clasp your own hands together in an approximation of the handshake Dirk gave you earlier. Hold it up in front of your eyes and squeeze. You hope the visual is clear to your Lucisistrator, your right hand, armored to protect the Ring of Life, and your left hand, wearing only a simple, fingerless skate glove.
We fight, Pupa. We fucking fight.
Be Jade. You leave one disaster to find another. Floating high in the air, you see golden spaceships like the one where you lost John swerving wildly this way and that amid Gamerian strike formations. You see the spire, with the broad upper disc of its flight deck, a pincushion of gothic lances of golden brick, injection needles with payloads of troops, and speaking of gold, you see Prospect's moon not only falling, but falling in pieces. Many pieces.
Oh my fucking god. Where do I even start?
Just start grabbing shit.
Dave, the moon is shattering!
Start left and work right. I'll get a sit rep. You wonder why Dave's voice sounds weird. And then you realize it's because he's tense. So are you. You realized a long time ago that shrinking Skaia and the lands right after you reached God tier hadn't actually been that impressive. They were spheres. Spheres are easy. These shapes are irregular, unwieldy, gargantuan, and not only are they in motion, they're in motion relative to your frame of reference. Your powers haven't felt this awkward to use in 30 years, back when you were still broken, back before Dirk fixed you. Everything had been so hard back then, so clinical and precise and exact and hard. That first rush of reborn might in the factory, of effortlessness, of think and it happens, was intoxicating. You try to channel the memory of that rush as you go to work, using Dave's voice as background noise.
Spy, this is Turntech Godhead with Garden Gnostic. How copy?
Static. He switches channels.
Spy, this is Turntech Godhead with Garden Gnostic. How copy?
Static.
Spire, this is TurnTech Godhead with Garden Gnostic. How copy?
On the 10th attempt, he gets a response. But instead of Karkat's nasal stridency or even Curia's nervous, rolled R's, the voice on the other end sounds both bored and urgent, both slovenly and spry, like carbonated molasses.
Karkat can't get his ass to the motherfucking phone right now. Do you want to be all up and leaving a message and shit? Cause I warn you, I'll have to give it to his next motherfucking kin!
Several seconds of squealing feedback end the transmission.
Shit, I gotta get down there right fucking now. Port me. Port me. No. Port me right now, god fucking damn it.
Dave, how many people live in Game Area City?
I don't fucking care!
16 million, and yes you do.
Fucking shit and fucking fuck, Jade!
I have to stop, shrink, and capture log every single piece of prospect before it falls on the city. Bare minimum, bare fucking minimum of all the problems I can solve out here. I have to solve that one, and you're distracting me from doing that. I cannot spare the energy to port you inside, and even if I could, we have no idea what it even looks like in there right now. I could phase you into a pile of rubble, or an explosion, or another fucking person!
Okay, later.
He takes off, you haul him back, screaming with the added strain.
No, you don't! Dave!
Jade, he's gonna fucking die!
You almost remind him that you can't die, but it wouldn't comfort him any more than it comforts you.
And if I lose visual on you, I can't help you. We can move faster together once I can move us. Give me a fucking minute!
Jade, I love him.
I love Roxy. And she's bleeding out right now, 50 feet from Teresi fucking Pyrethy, and I'm in another country doing my goddamn job because Rose fucking said. So stay the fuck with me, Dave. Be a soldier. Be my knight, like Dirk fucking said.
He exhales, nods, puts his back to you, and raises his sword against the Juggalo hordes. Mom's lucky.
You're goddamn right she is, Dave. So is Karkat, and that's where they're both gonna live. We just have to have fucking hope. Now stop making me talk!
A-Firm.
B. Dirk. How many iterations? How many times did Teresi Pyrope rewrite the universe? How many times did Operation Latchkey happen? Nepeta Legion died without telling you, without giving you those last few pieces of the puzzle, the last few clues that would explain the story that Teresi Pyrope has been writing about herself and Vriska's circuit, the story that you and everyone you love has lived for your entire lives. Vriska's circuit by herself doesn't explain it. The overall structure of the plan is obvious. Shine a spotlight bright enough that the Thief of Light will be narratively forced to steal it, and Skaia forced to deliver the Thief of Light to that occasion. It's a brilliant plan. It is, in fact, such a brilliant plan that it should have worked decades ago. And that it did not work decades ago, that it only worked now, means that there is something fundamentally incomplete about your understanding of the situation, something you are missing. Your foot skids on something. You look down and see a mangled, compact disc with the scuffed remains of a pink spirograph design printed upon it. Your mind seems to decouple itself from itself in several locations, shift, rotate, and rearrange its constituent parts, and then hook everything back together in a blinding flurry of soldering and welding, and when it is done, it is more than the sum of its parts. And now, as you stand here, at the end of the world that Teresi Pyrope made, staring at a red-hued, ten-armed freak that wears your shades and thinks with your mind, you realize that the puzzle has only ever needed one more piece, and you already have it. Because that piece is me. It has always been me. I look into the eyes of my true opponent, not breaking eye contact as I flash to within a meter of them. One sword meets six. I have never hated myself more than I do at this moment.
The feeling, as feelings so often are, is mutual.
I figured everything out, but the ending...
You want spoilers? Grow the fuck up, Dirk Strider.
Any hints?
Just one. We win.
The show goes on.
I flash back to Rose, and father and daughter spring into action as one, executing a mirrored dance of flash steps to feel out Arqueous Sprite's defenses. At the perfect moment, we diverge, and a hailstorm of magic pours from the quills of Echidna, saturating the battlefield with blasts of force, elemental blitzes, traps, contingencies, walls of light and pillars of sound, all overlapping and intersecting nonsensically. It is far too much magic for her to be casting at once, enveloping all available space, and those spells that should hit me wash over me like nothing. What is going on? Soon, Rose's sword goes on the attack, and I understand what I'm looking at. Timelines. She's a firework, exploding radially at each moment of decision into countless temporal waveforms that collapse but for one as she makes each movement, delivers each strike, parries each attack just so, as often attacks meant for us as attacks meant for her. Those moments are mere Roman candles, quantum Boolean values allowing her to follow or reject her claspectual instincts. She nearly always follows them, and when she doesn't, there is a reason. She is good. Better than me. Ballistic trajectories trace themselves across the battlefield, but all of them collapse before they become literal. Jake knows not to fire into melee, but he wants to fire somewhere. He wants to help, but he can't, not with two incapacitated friends to look after. I flash over. Roxy.
Hey, Ducko, shit sucks.
Take some morphine. Take charge of Jane.
Duck!
That's an order.
Duck, where the hell is she supposed to get morphine from?
Where the hell am I supposed to get fucking morphine from? Are you too serious?
Oh.
I'm dumb. I'm drunk. A needle appears in her hand. A quick stab, a quick press. On your feet, soldier.
Ephraim.
Jane, it's good to see you. I almost add the word again, but I have never seen this person before in my life. My heart disagrees with me. I don't destroy it. I can't destroy it. My powers don't work on myself. They never have. Not in that way, at least. Jake, you're with me. Off to you, Dirk. He smiles that scarf-stealing smile at me and readies his pistols. The setting sun glints off my shades as I ready my sword. We nod, turn, and with the world crumbling around us and the sky filled with war, we become what we were always meant to be.
V. Dave. How we looking, Jade? Almost there, just a few minutes.
A few minutes? Can she speed it the fuck up? She can't. She's going as fast as she can. She cares about Carcat too, and even if she didn't, she would still be going as fast as she could.
Can I help? Is there anything I can do? Actually, can you talk to me? I think it'll help me focus, make it go faster.
About what?
Anything, Dave, anything at all.
Well, that you can do. Except, can be like, heavy shit?
Would it be heavier than these chunks of fucking moon, Dave?
Right on, so like, I'm scared? About to piss my pants is how scared? For Carcat, yeah, but also, look, I never wanted to be a fucking hero. Like, the hero. I never wanted that. Knew it from, well, not far the fuck back enough, if I'm honest, but Dirk always knew. Like my dad Dirk, not my Dirk like my big bro Dirk.
It's a biology, it's so stupid.
Yeah, so like, Dirk always knew. And he's always tried to keep me away from being the hero. Like we both do important shit, dangerous shit. He ain't, like, babying me or whatever, but, like narratively. Like, kind of stuff he and Rose work on while they paint their nails and talk about boys or whatever. Like, I mean, I don't think he actually talks about this. Like me with Rose. And that's, like, on purpose. Like, with y'all's kids. He takes center stage. He makes sure, much as he can, that the spotlight is on him. Because he knows I don't the fuck want it on me. And he can take it because he's Dirk. And I fucking love him for it, Jade. But here's the thing. If he'd known that Gamzee fucking Makara was going to be here, I think he might have come with you instead of me.
Why?
Oh, he never told me about Gamzee.
He never told me about much. Dave, I tried to become better friends with him after he cut my head off, but he just... I mean, he's Dirk.
Yeah, nah, he for sure is Dirk. So that's why you don't understand how bad this shit is right now.
Dave, I'm going as fast as I can.
I know you are. Chill, just look. I ain't never fought Gamzee before. Like, rap battles and shit before we knew he was out of his fucking mind, sure, but not fought. Dirk has. During the session, like, four times. And, he calls Gamzee Makara the most dangerous thing in the entire fucking universe.
Worse than Terezi?
I mean, if you want to kill, like, millions of people, sure, Terezi's your girl, but if you want to kill one person, Gamzee Makara. And that's who's after my fucking husband. So, you about done yet?
A few seconds. That's... I don't know what to say, Dave.
You told me to talk, just let me know.
Okay. Okay, that's the last of it. Dave, before we go in, I should let you know, I just tried to warp back to Crocker Corp, just to see if I could, and I can't. The interference is back, so we aren't stuck here. So from now, Crockhead is the only problem I'm going to let myself think about.
You grab her hand in yours.
You ready to go be heroes, Dave?
You heft Khaled Volk with the other.
Dirk needs a fucking day off anyway. Be Jake. Inhale, left, exhale, right, fire, roll, reload, onward. If you're honest with yourself, and you are, this is the most alive you have ever felt in your entire life. Dirk knows what you will do before you do it. And he entwines his movements with yours like you've been drilling as a two-man team for years and years and years. With sustained fire from you, repeated slashes from Dirk, ongoing spells from Rose, and tireless bludgeoning from Latch, the four of you find that it is indeed possible to inflict lasting damage on a Colonel Sprite. Be Dirk. Aqueous Sprite's 10 arms, 6 swords, and 2 great bows become 9 arms, then 8, then 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, and then he is down, finally, to a single bow, a single sword, and a single card to play. Ballistic trajectories fill every square inch of air, a starburst with a million rays. None are yet literal, but all of them will be, and all of them are incoming. They decrease in number, slowly, as the black holes continue to eat their fill, and as the Dursite fleet takes advantage of the sudden, suicidal single-mindedness of the entire drone swarm. But a million and falling is still far too many. Not all of the deaths will be permanent, probably. But enough will be.
Hold! Something is wrong!
Those will be her last words.
Why does everywhere feel like a fucking mistake?
Those will be her last words. He is going to give the order no matter what I do, no matter what anyone does. Nothing can stop him from dooming this and every single other timeline. Except for one thing. And now I know how this story ends.
Jake.
Be Jake. Dirk turns to you. And sakes alive if he doesn't have an actual expression on his face. Listen to me. Every single drone in the swarm is preparing to fire on every single person on this roof at the same time. Everyone will die. We don't have Jade, and we don't have time. But we do have one thing that can stop it. We have you.
Why would I be able to?
Because your name is Jake English, and I never stopped loving you. You clench your hands into the front of his godhood, pull him to you, and the moment your lips touch his, your aspect ignites in your chest, and you'd probably yell something really cool like, "Boy howdy," or "Sock it to me," if you weren't too busy kissing the arrogant, bullheaded, infuriating, beautiful man that you never stopped loving either, not for a single day, not for a single moment. His fingers tighten in your hair, your glasses come askew, the two of you float upwards into the manifold, thundering howl of a million gunshots, and the light spring rain of a million bullets stopping dead against a sphere of brilliant white.
Primary objective complete.
He's behind you, eyes narrowing. Dirk twirls the two of you in midair.
Babe, no!
A spell flashes past, barely missing the three of you.
Dirk!
Dirk coughs, and blood stains your glasses.
Secondary objective complete.
The tip of Aqueous Sprite's sword grinds against your sternum before it recedes.
Why not just run us both through, you bastard?
Because I never stopped loving you.
Your sphere of brilliant white collapses to a pinprick.
Primary and secondary objectives complete. Farewell, Jake English, until the next masterpiece.
He takes off into the sky, spiraling toward the nearest black hole. Dirk stirs in your arms, Jake.
Dirk.
Don't lose hope. You sink slowly downwards, neither remembering nor caring how you had ever found hope in the first place.
Be Arqueous, Sprite. As you enter the event horizon, you draft and send a resignation letter to the desk of Terezi Pirapi, CEO, Crocker Corp, and issue a final series of commands to your uncountable splinters. Every drone in the sky self-destructs in an inferno that engulfs the entire Dursite fleet.
Be Vriska. You rip Terezi Pirapi open from nook to nookbone. Fire proclaims your victory as your sword slashes heavenwards, teal splattering you, running together with the already flowing blue. She falls on her face and dies. A bell tolls. You stumble. You cough. Your vision swims in a wash of blue.
Be Carcat.
All you ever wanted was to be a leader, to be respected, to be taken seriously. And, truth be told, you achieved that goal pretty early in life. When everyone had agreed that Rose should be in charge, she had pretty quickly decided that you should be her second in command, saying that the trolls in the group needed a loud voice in decision-making. This wasn't really a lie. Troll representation had been a factor, but it wasn't the actual reason. The actual reason was that she knew you'd be good at it. She also knew that you would have said no if she'd told you the actual reason, because you had just come off of losing almost 3/4 of your own people to Terezi Pirapi. It wasn't until almost 2 sweeps later, after Operation Fancy Santa, really, that you figured out that when people listened to you, it wasn't just because they respected Rose. They also respected you. It didn't matter that you were total wiggler food at combat, or that you yelled all the time, or that you'd made so many mistakes in the past. They respected you. And so does every single troll in the Spire. And you think you might have already lost 3/4 of them as well. You were on your way to the secondary war room when an entire corridor collapsed, cut you off from the rest of your staff, and dumped you in a sub-level you've never seen before, with shitty lighting and shittier ventilation. It didn't take long for Gamzee to relieve you of your security detail. Streaks of blood in every color but yours hang heavy on your godhood. Your sickles hang heavy in your prongs. You run, not knowing where you are, not knowing where you're going. The honking follows you. You don't think your death is going to be heroic. But the more bodies you pass, the more you wonder if it might be just.
Be Rose. You barely notice the body of your most hated enemy hitting the rooftop,
because in the same moment, the body of your father is being laid there as well. You turn to your fucking wife, Latula.
Why the fuck did you stop me?
Her hand is still holding your arm from when she grabbed it. Tears are pouring down her face.
Babe, you were making a mistake.
You come so close to saying that that isn't the only mistake you've made. And then you remember that you love your wife.
He said we couldn't die. Babe, he was wrong.
He was Dirk!
Which bell was first? Which fucking bell was first? What does that matter, babe? They both happened.
They both didn't, though. You both turn to Roxy, still huddled in a corner with Jane.
I'm still on drugs right now, so take with grain of salt, but I only heard one bell.
Behind you, You hear a second bell, and a shriek that could end a universe.
Be Terezi.
Your name is Terezi Pyrope. The light burns your eyes for the first time in eons. The first thing in eons that your eyes see is Vriska's circuit, and she is paying for your crimes. She is falling on her face, a heroic blue smear, both coat and sword fading to reveal a jacket and jeans. Your own red pantsuit has been replaced by the green seer's godhood you haven't worn since the last time you fucking resurrected. It was supposed to be you. It was supposed to be you. It was supposed to be you. Why the fuck didn't you stay dead? You whirl in place, looking around with your goddamned fucking eyes for answers, looking for anything, anything, anyone at all who can make this make sense. And your goddamned fucking eyes land on goddamned fucking Jane. Who wasn't? It turns out, quite as much of a villain as she probably hoped she was. But then again, she wasn't much of a hero, either. She's staring at you right now, eyes the size of falling planets in abject fucking terror. Good. You rise to your fullest, most imperious height, and point a taloned prong directly at her coward, fucking traitor face. Fix this! Jane Crocker slowly shakes her head from side to side.
Be Dave.
Have you seen Carcat?
You can't find him.
Do you know where Knight Vantus is?
It isn't like you can say that you've looked everywhere.
Carcat Vantus, have you seen him?
There was a lot of everywhere to look.
Where's Carcat? Have you seen Carcat?
Everywhere you warp to, there are more skirmishes to help with. The flight deck, the promenade, Causeway South, the fucked up twist of steel and bullshit that used to be Causeway North. Lots of people lived there. You and Carcat lived there. But even short-range comms are spotty and unreliable in this clusterfuck, so all you can do is look with your eyes. Crackle, 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 crackle.
Enemy contact? Fuck. Was this the food court?
Jane shoulders her rifle. You brandish Kaledvok.
Protein distribution hub, but yeah. Jay, do you really need line of sight for every warp? Dave, I'm a witch, not a seer. This place is so trashed I barely even know the layout anymore. How about flashing? I already thought of that. It wouldn't be faster. Not when shit's this fucked up. Too much stop and start. Barely faster than running. Fuck. It's gonna take hours. I know. He hasn't fucking half hours. I know, Dave. I didn't want to say this before, but if the problem is how long it's taking...
No.
Dave.
No.
Dave, it's Carcat. I know that, Jade. He's my fucking husband. And last time I used my powers, I handed Terezi Pyrope the planet. The whole entire planet, Jade. Every single fucked up thing about this place was, is, my fucking fault. The Troll Kingdom, the grub, my fault.
That's not how it works, Dave.
How it works is that if I hadn't done what I did,
then Terezi would have done something different.
She could do something different then. Without my fucking help. Area clear.
Crackle, crackle, crackle.
Enemy contact.
Aphraim. Dave, I'm just talking about a few hours of time dilation. What happened before was 5,000 years.
Time is time. 5 millennia, 5 minutes. I'd be giving Terezi an inch.
Dave, this just sounds like you just... Look, what would Carcat want?
Carcat would want to be set on fucking fire. You said it yourself, Jade. 16 million people in Game Area City. Those are his kids. His Becky and Zaz. He would set me on fire. He wouldn't hesitate. Not if it meant protecting what he spent his whole life fighting for and building. It's why I fucking love him, Jade, and I ain't gonna betray that. I can't betray that. We gotta keep going like we're going. Even if it takes too long. Even if... Does that make me a monster? Fuck. Area clear.
Knight Strider, sir, if I may.
You and Jade turn to see Lieutenant Coria Perazzi. One frond and a sling. Her 1x3-dent fork drips blood and fago onto the floor of the secondary war room.
What's on your mind, Coria?
I think that makes you a hero. And a good Moiriel.
Well, fuck.
And I know someone who can help.
Who?
My Moiriel. Knight Vantus introduced us, actually.
Aqueous. B. Zazerpan. Your chair lays toppled on its back, and you lay in its tight embrace like a shell beast that can't right itself. This body is too weak. You feel like you could have broken these straps even when you were a literal wiggler. You wouldn't bet that this body could do it sober, and you are not sober.
You are barely cognizant and fighting for each moment that you remain so. The plan had been for Aqueous Sprite to send a command to release you and counteract the soporifics at the appropriate time. You don't know when the appropriate time is, but you do know that the command isn't coming. The hard line hangs raggedly severed above you, the only real view of anything that you have. Well, you can see one additional thing. You can see the piece of rebar sticking out of Zazerpan Harley's stomach. The adrenaline from that is probably the only thing that is keeping you awake. You think that's what adrenaline does. You aren't sure. Most of your knowledge of human anatomy came from the autoresponder, and it's harder to recall now that he's no longer part of you. Especially hard to recall is the knowledge of what organs the piece of rebar might have damaged, and how important any of them were. The void that protects the four of you will flow from you even if Zazerpan Harley is asleep, but it will not flow from you if Zazerpan Harley is dead. Desperately, relentlessly, frantically, you continue to strain against the straps, fighting pain, fear, fatigue, and a soporific haze. The struggle is, unfortunately and unavoidably, a heroic one. So you do it carefully as well.
B. Latula.
At the risk of sounding cliché, why the fuck won't you stay dead?
Terezi's head whips around to skewer your wife with an off-kilter leer.
Oh, Rose, didn't you know? A narrative loves a good cliché.
She looks so disturbing with eyes.
Now, if you don't mind, I am currently in a meeting. You'll have to make an appointment with my secretary. Her name is Jane, and she is just a delight.
The head snaps back.
Aren't you, Jane?
Rose speaks only to you, rapidly, as fast as her mind is moving. Oh my god, the narrative. Dirk died before Terezi. That means we're in a doomed timeline.
But we're still here.
We are, until it collapses. But Latula, I don't know when we're ever going to get a better shot at Terezi Pyrope. And if we kill her for good, then this would become the Alpha timeline. I know it would, even if... Oh my god, Latula, even if that means that... Dirk would want us to. He would.
This feels like a mistake, but you have no better ideas.
Well...
Do you have any better ideas?
Leave me alone.
But you have no better ideas. Let's do it. Rose opens a short-range comm channel.
Okay, Jake, Mother, grieve later. That's an order. Now on my mark...
An almighty crash rocks the two of you forward. Chunks of new rubble spray from behind you, and a pair of giant, battered, winged forms soar clumsily up and overhead. Lightning arcs between them, around them, and through them.
I thought all the drones were gone, though!
Oh, fuck. It... Oh, fuck. Isn't a drone. Oh, fuck. It was never a drone. Gaping holes in the crimson armor reveal scaly white hide, identical to Game Girl's, but for the scars. The old scars. The surgical scars. The cybernetic enhancement scars. What the fuck? Terezi drowns out your racing thoughts with a manic shriek of glee.
Hey, Red Glare! That's not my... Fucking name! I know, but this is...
She raises a frond, clenches a fist, and punches it downward. The robot, cyborg, dragon, Lucis, thing, slams Game Girl down on the roof by her long, majestic, teal-smeared neck. Her head is mere feet from yours. Her eyes speak of agony and love and memories far older than three sweeps. Her great jaws part. Her rhythmic, rumbling roar washes over you like the slime from your pupation. Your name is Latula Pyrope. And you have just been given a name by your Lucis.
Latch, did your dragon just talk?
No, your name is Latula Lalande, and Terezi gives her clenched fist a sudden, savage twist.
She wasn't mine, Saz. I was hers.
The cyborg's jaws snap all the way shut. Your mind turns off. Zazerpan, B. Latula.
Latch. 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 Oh my fucking god, Latch, wake up!
You try to move your sister-in-law's ridiculously long limbs, but the most you can manage is sluggish, spasmodic twitching. Night of mind means night of mind. So you're stuck there, in her useless body, on her useless knees, wishing that you were actually good at the thing you thought you were good at, getting people to do the fuck what you want. Why does your stomach hurt? Nepeta told you that Terezi has never once seen inside Latula's head, you remind yourself. When she's asleep, or knocked out, or whatever, she can't shield other people, but her mind stays locked, you remind yourself. Which means Terezi still can't see you in here, probably. You think, you hope. Oh god, oh god, oh god, here she comes.
Ah, the sweet, sweet, sweet bouquet of intel. You can't even fucking imagine how hard that was to set up. I mean, it would have been easy to just fake it. But when it comes to the big stuff, when it comes to the really big moments.
Your mom and Jake and Rose all charge. But Terezi's sword just blurs in her hand, and it's like they don't even exist. She doesn't even look at them, not a glance, not a gesture, just her arm working seemingly by itself, like it's attached to somebody else. It's like you're seeing two entirely different things at the same time, an action movie starring your family, and in front of you, a woman having a casual conversation with you, a woman with eyes that don't seem real. Spells fly, bullets fly, rounded green cubes fly, it all misses by a yard, a foot, an inch, a millimeter. She acts like none of it's there. Because it isn't. It doesn't exist. She grabs your body's chin with a taloned hand. Why does your stomach hurt?
Let's move.
When it comes to you, only the best. Only the genuine article. And in case you're wondering, they're both Pyral Spite. One from before us, one from Alternia.
She giggles, closes her eyes, gives your body's face a deep sniff, and smiles.
Oh my god.
I actually have no idea which is which. I lost track of an eon or so ago. You know all about eons, don't you, Red Glare? Oh, sorry, Latula. Latch between friends. But yeah, when the time came to choose which one went where, I just flipped a coin. Can you believe it?
She kisses her fist. And her fingers splay open, the cyborg's mouth fills with blood, and it slumps to the roof with a final crash.
Not that it matters now.
Your body twitches.
Please let...
Ooh, Rose's little sword with benefits is rattling in her sheath. I mean, I say sword. Let's be honest, you were always more of a crutch.
Please stand up, Latch, please.
Your body does not stand up. Why does your stomach hurt?
Hey, want to hear a joke? Sure you do. What do your Lucis and your son have in common?
You don't see her move. You only feel your body's right arm fall away at the shoulder. Hear the metal armor clattering to the rubble of the roof and sliding off the side into the abyss. See the spray of teal across the blades follow through.
We both screamed your name when they died.
There is no pain. Your body howls.
But she's lying. She's fucking lying. He isn't dead. She doesn't know where he is, but I do. Wait. What?
The sword rams through your body's brain. And twists. Be Jake. It happens so quickly that you barely understand it. Latch falls, dies, her ring ripped away from her along with her immortal life. Rose's scream fills the world, the universe, all of it. And you hear in that scream an agony that puts what you just felt about Dirk to paltry, unworthy shame. What is one kiss after a lifetime of useless pining to a lifetime spent as woman and wife? What are feelings unacted upon, a love only briefly requited to a bond that did not shatter when faced with adversity, but instead grew stronger, grew deeper, grew more facets and polished those it already had to a brilliant shine? That a love like that survived for nearly half a century is not diminished by the tragedy of its ending, but is a victory to be cherished. And a symbol made more precious and profound by the unsteadiness of the hand in which it was written. Of hope.
It is a hope that flares in my chest more brilliantly and with greater clarity than I ever dreamed possible. I fill my lungs with air that tastes brand new and...
Bore me! Oh, to fucking...
Oh,
tears.
Ow. Oh.
That's what you'd fucking do.
She recapture logs the culling fork.
You've never felt pain a day in your life. But Swiffer will.
Don't you touch.
Spoken like a true hero, Dirk would be so proud.
You don't feel the sword pass through your neck, only your head hitting the ground.
B. Rose.
You almost give up. You almost give in to the calm numbness of resignation, of the knowledge that this is not the timeline that will be. You wonder what the point of divergence is, how far back it goes. You think Alpha Rose won't lose Latula, and she probably won't lose Dirk. Alpha Rose's kids are probably fine. Maybe whatever happened to your kids is what doomed this timeline in the first place. Maybe Alpha Rose will kill Terezi Pyrope with her own two hands and a smile on her face, and it'll be easy. And no one she loves will ever get hurt, and every call she makes will be the right one, and she'll be so happy she just won't know what to do with herself. Maybe you don't give a fuck. Maybe Terezi Pyrope is going to die right goddamn here and right goddamn now, and goddamn anyone who has to stay dead to keep the vile, evil cunt in the ground. Your skin turns as gray as your dead wife's, grayer, darker. Your wands surge with power unimagined and unimaginable. Your hatred is a living, breathing thing, and that thing is you. With a cry of words that are not words, and a tongue spoken by those who have seven throats and no eyes, you gather to your side a swell of energies too tangential to reality to reflect the light of the still-setting sun. They boil around you like water but are colder than dreams. You flash from point to point too quickly for the world to remember you were there. Vortices of cackling midnight spray like arteries from the quills, ripping their flesh price from you as they carve paths of misery through the air. Woes beyond measure and count pour forth in a gleeful litany from wounds in the hide of causality. None of it touches her. None of it comes near her. You don't even know if any of it happened. You hang there. Skin pink and sunburned, your wands fallen from your hands like useless toys, skewered by the throat on a sword still wet with the blood of a wonderful woman you never deserved. Not for an instant.
I did such an outstanding job with you, Rose! Outstanding! I could never have asked for a better main character, a better partner, a better friend.
She tilts the blade up, and you slide down it towards the hilt.
I don't like you, Rose. I never did. And this doesn't change that. But thank you. Thank you for trying so very, very hard for so very, very long in the face of complete and utter futility. Now fuck off.
She tilts the blade down, and you slide toward the tip. You're dead before you reach it.
Be Terezi.
You stalk toward Jane slowly, casually, stepping carefully around the rubble and the bodies. You stoop, pick up one of Jake's guns, and fire it into the air without looking. Roxy Lalonde falls at your feet with an absolutely pitiful squeal, Dirk's stupid fucking sword clattering out of her remaining hand next to her.
Thought you'd unlocked a new power, didn't you? Pulled some Memento Ex Machina shit out of nowhere to save the fucking day, didn't ya? Morphine's a hell of a drug, isn't it, Roxy? Look!
You shoot her again.
Load pan!
And again.
It isn't enough to make me forget you exist!
And again.
You have to make Jane forget you exist, too!
You empty the magazine into Roxy's stupid fucking corpse.
Zazerpan. B. Latula.
Latch.
Your name is Zazerpan Harley.
Latch.
You can't move your body.
Latch.
You can't open your eyes.
Latch, are you there?
But you can hear.
Please be there.
You heard everything.
Latch, please be there.
And you are scared out of your mind.
What?
But at least you aren't alone in here.
How are we alive?
Thank fuck.
Because you didn't die like a hero. You died while having a panic attack. But the ring, Petta switched it to your other hand. It's the first thing she was planning to do.
You feel your body's left hand shift underneath you, rubbing the fingers together to press against the ring of life.
Oh, fuck. I just don't know if... Why? Oh, hey, wait, did you say something about tuna before? Shut up and listen to me right now. What the fuck, Saz? Do not stand up. Do not move. And do not shield anybody. But I gotta help. Latch, there isn't anything to help. Everyone up here is dead. Everyone but Terezi and Jane. And if you move, if you shield Jane, Terezi, you will know that you and me aren't dead and she'll kill us again. And Latch, I don't want to die again. Please don't move, Latch, please.
Saz, if everyone's dead, then none of this matters.
Latch.
That's okay, girl, it's okay.
Latch.
It just means this is a doomed timeline.
No, it doesn't, Latch.
Don't worry, the dream bubbles can be really nice if you're with people you love.
This isn't a doomed timeline, Latch.
No, it's okay, Rose explained it to me. We can't die until Terezi dies.
Rose is wrong. So is Uncle Dirk. None of us could die, but that's over now. It's been over. And it was never about Terezi. Fucking, why does his stomach hurt?
It doesn't hurt, Saz.
How do you not feel that? Oh, God. Wait. Watch. How many people are on the floor below us? How many minds?
One.
What? Just one?
Do I count the three or four kids who are at the computers or whatever?
Of course you count them! Oh my god, this is so frustrating, Latch! The kids at the computers are us! They were always us! Every single day they were us! That's the point! That's what's been anchoring the timeline! We had to grow up to be those exact kids! The ones that John kidnapped today!
But the kids don't just can't be you guys. They feel boring. Like they don't matter.
Latch, I know! We feel boring, we look boring, and so Terezi would never bother to read our minds, would never find out who we were, but she's about to find out because I think I'm dying, Latch!
No, you're doing fine.
Not me, Latch! My fucking body! How many kids are downstairs, Latch? Is it three or four?
Four? But one of them is really faint. Getting fainter.
Shield all four of them. Oh god, Latch, do it now. Please, before she sees them. She's us. Oh god, oh god, oh god.
Done. And now there's only three now.
Oh my god. Holy shit, it's them. It's my pupas. How did I not notice until now? Saz, what the fuck is going on? I just told you.
Wait, you... Well, you did. And I, like, just didn't believe you? That is so fucking weird.
It's a weird day, Latch.
Tell me again. Tell me everything. Fuck Dirk Protocol, Saz. Fucking talk to me right now.
Okay, I will. Just don't move.
Be Terezi.
And the stupid thing is, if you wanted Jane to forget something, she could have just done that to herself. She's really good at it. She's good at a lot of things, our Jane.
A quartet of bells tolls one by one on the next four words you speak.
Except for fucking listening.
You turn and look at her.
Because I don't think you heard me, Jane.
You storm over to her, grab her by the hair, yank her to her feet, and scream it in her useless
fucking ears. I said to fucking fix this!
You drop her to the ground and tower over her.
What do you even want me to do? I can't reverse a heroic death.
And how do you know that, Jane? Is that what your memories tell you? You have all of them back, don't you? Fucking use them! Remember this session, Jane. Your session!
That was so long ago, Miss Byraby.
You backhand her so hard it sends her sprawling. A tooth flies from her mouth. Her eyes flash. Her grimace shows her gums knitting. A new tooth sliding into place. There's your girl.
Stop acting lobotomized, Jane. It isn't cute anymore, and it's beneath you. It's beneath anyone who can think in color like we can. The world is a book, Jane. Turn the page back. Remember what a maid of life can do when she really puts in 110%.
Pages flip, eons fly, memories collide in her mind, heroes die, bells toll, eyes flutter open in a glow of blue, friends rise to their feet, embrace, laugh, and cry. Her eyes go wide,
She scrabbles through the rubble on all fours like a fucking animal, and your sword pins her outstretched hand to the ground before it gets anywhere close to her darling, sweet, wonderful BFF.
Oh, no, 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 Jane. This isn't about you. Not yet. I'm gonna get what I want, Jane, and after that, you'll never see me or her ever again. And then it'll be your story. What do you say to that, Jane?
You don't actually mean it. You don't actually mean most of what you say. That's not really the point of you. With the blunt edge of your sword toward Jane's knuckle, you drag her, screaming, toward Vriska.
Be Naya.
Your eyes fly open. The light is flickering. You're still in the chair. You throw your fronds against the straps, only to find that they're already loosened. Ripping out the IV, you fly to your feet. And in the flickering light, you see your brother kneeling next to Zazerpen Harley, your best friend in the whole wide world. She's sprawled on the concrete floor, her wrists rubbed raw, her adorable purple dress black with blood that trails from where she lays to each of your chairs, and finally to her own chair. Skewered by a piece of bent, candy red rebar. She freed herself. Somehow she freed herself. And then she freed the three of you. And then she. You open your mouth. A fuzzy hand clamps over it. A voice snarls in your ear.
Danger.
You don't think you've ever heard Becky whisper in your life.
Don't scream, Naya. You can't scream. If you do, Terezi will kill us. Not if you understand.
You nod. He lets you go. Mituna stands up, holding a few vials smeared with candy red blood, still wet, shiny in the flickering light.
Anti-soporifics. They were on our IVs. I think Saz put them there.
The last time we talked, I told her to eat shit.
She knew you didn't mean it.
Did she? You were there, you saw her, she reacted.
Both of you shut up right now. Oh my god. Naya, you have to promise you won't scream. But look over here.
I'm not going to fucking scream. Oh my god, what?
He clamps a fuzzy hand around your mouth again. You go slack. Becky slowly releases you. You walk. Slowly, as if in a dream. Toward the room's only light source. A large glass tank. Inside it swirls a liquid that flickers with the intermittent bioluminescence of the person, the woman, the troll. Floating within it. That person, that woman, that troll. Is you.
Be Carcat.
Gamzee finds you. He finds you over and over. When he finds you, he cuts you one time, then lets you escape, and then he finds you again. He hasn't even said anything to you, he just keeps honking. Candy red blood covers your godhood now, your sickles are about 10 corridors back. You don't know how you're still moving, or why. You think, in some distant part of your think pan that can still do that, that it has to do with the fact that if Gamzee is here, doing this to you, he isn't doing it to anyone under your command. Then again, a lot of the bodies you're passing seem pretty fresh. Sharon had just gotten back together with her old mates, Britt. You'd been rooting for that. Gulber had been bucking for a promotion to prove to his Kismesis that he could do it. Lantel was the best middle leaf you had ever seen in your damn life. Thrall and Forla are really going to miss her. If they're still alive. You wonder, in some distant part of your think pan that won't stop doing that, how your family is doing, if they'll be okay without you. Jade will have your garden to take care of. You don't know if it'll survive, if it even has survived to this point, but she'll make a new one if she has to, and she'll call it yours. She'll be okay. Latch will be inconsolable at first. The truth is, she always came to you for help with her problems before really trying to solve them herself. just because she liked talking to you. You don't think she'll realize that. She will, however, get better at helping herself, because that will make Rose happy, or calm, or annoyed, or whatever the quadrant calls for. She'll be okay. Rose will think she has no idea what to do, and work herself half to death trying to run the entire base by herself. Dirk will let it go on for about a week, before he tells her to stop being an idiot, make Courier the new XO, and actually start to grieve. She'll be okay. Dirk will always have enough on his mind to distract himself from anything. Maybe he'll be so sad he'll finally ask Jake out. He'll be okay. Dave won't. Ah. So that's why you're still moving. And that's why you won't be waking back up. Well, good for you. The thought actually makes you smile. Dave would be proud. Your ThinkPan stops bothering you for a little while after you figure that out, probably as a reward or something. You don't know how anything works at this point, including standing. Down you go. Right before you lose consciousness, you start hallucinating from the blood loss or something. The last thing you see is a glowing figure kicking Gamzee Mikara up the bone bulge. The last thing you feel is a pair of thin fronds jerking you up off the ground, slinging you over a shoulder. The last thing you hear is a voice, panting, its owner running like only a jade blood who survived the rainbow riots can.
Don't you worry about a thing, mister. We'll get you to a sawbones lickety-split. Be right as rain, I tell you. Oleg Mop's got some spring in her gams yet. Strider sends his diamonds, by the way. Well, heck, he can give them to you himself. There he is now. Hey, mister's husband. Have your lady friend there pop you over to level P, corridor E6, subsection 5K. There's a fellow down there causing trouble with a capital T. How are you doing, Coria?
B. Tuna. On the left, motionless, skin green with sweat, one hand resting on the glass of the tank, is your sister. On the right, thrashing, skin a strobe light, shining in frantic arrhythmic blinks through the mass of cables, wires, tubes, chains that hold her in place, is your sister. She looks old. Like really old.
She's what, 12 sweeps?
No, you idiot. She's way older than that. She's older than anybody, ever. Her eyes flutter open and shut, but you see it. They're a different color and glowing and look nothing alike, but somehow at the same time, they're just like troll moms.
We've got to help her. We've got to help her right fucking now.
Tune, we have to get the fuck out of here. Your best friend's eyes are wide, his ears up and alert, his teeth bared.
We have to help her. She's me.
I fucking know that, Naya. Of course we got to help her, but we have to get the fuck out of here. So how do we take her with us? That's the puzzle. Solve the puzzle. We have to solve the puzzle. Danger, danger, danger.
Naya tears her ganderbalms away from herself, glances around with an oddly dreamy expression, and back at herself she gestures, unlooking, with an open palm at a pile of rubble that you can barely make out a door on the other side of.
I'm not sure we can leave in the first place, Becky. I think the only way out is the way we came in.
No one looks at the hole in the ceiling. Everyone tries to ignore the sounds coming from it. Becky is not successful. He darts around, scrabbling at the walls, the corners, sniffing, pacing, dodging her attempts to grab him.
No answer. No answer.
Becky.
Danger, danger.
Becky.
Danger.
Becky, just.
Nowhere to go.
Just breathe.
Nowhere to go.
In.
Nowhere to go.
Becky, breathe in.
Nowhere to go.
In and out.
Already out. Already left. Went outside, left the spire, not supposed to. Look what happened.
Naya, fucking help!
Oh, yes, of course, sorry.
The both of you trap him against a wall. He's panting up a storm.
Becky, just calm down for a minute.
A minute? We don't have a minute. See us any minute. Kill us any minute. Like she killed Zaz.
He pants faster, 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 faster. His fur stands on end. He tingles. He jolts. He shocks you. You both let go of him with a yelp, and he growls and growls and flashes green. The green expands outward from him, sinking into the walls, the floor, the ceiling, into you, into your sister, into the tank. The noises from outside stop. Becky Harley slides down the wall into a fuzzy pile of idiot and passes the complete fuck out. Crackles still play occasionally across his stiffly raised fur. His chest rises and falls.
What the fuck just happened?
I'm not sure.
Did he just do an Aunt Jade?
But possibly. I think we should look outside.
That's the worst idea anyone has ever had.
Yes. I am David Hasselhoff at having bad ideas.
I thought that was Zaz.
Fuck. I'm sorry. You're fine. I thought the same thing.
We should look outside.
We should.
You do. You slowly, awkwardly brace yourself against a piece of rubble as Kanaya slowly, awkwardly clambers onto your shoulders. Her eyes were always better. She slowly, awkwardly climbs off of you and stands there, fronds folded, head cocked as if you are personally responsible for the words she is about to say.
Time outside this room has, indeed, stopped.
Cool. What was going on outside?
No.
Cool. She holds you tightly and does not cry. Both of you slowly, awkwardly calm most of the way the fuck down. You look at the console built into the side of the tank. It's all in Alternian, so that's nice. And it doesn't look all that complicated. In fact,
I could hack that shit.
You do. It only takes you a couple of hours. The tank has no functionality for the release of its occupant, no option even to release her chains, not that you can see. It does, however, have an option to speak to her. You enable it. A light indicates that the mic is hot. A strange, unsteady sound issues from speakers embedded in the console, breathing. Thin, rapid, and hoarse.
Hello. My name is Kanaya Lalonde. What's yours?
No response. But the breathing catches for a moment. So you know the woman can hear you.
How are you?
Initiating wetware checksum. Error. Anomaly detected.
It is your sister's voice. If strained, if hoarse, if too robotic. But that is all. It seems that it is willing or able to say. But she keeps listening. So the two of you keep talking.
Be Becky.
You dream of stories. You dream of voices, noises, a crowd. You dream of tales told by two people you love about a life in a home they can't leave, about fear and worry and the search for answers. You dream of windows, spires, towers, smooth ebony faces. You dream of anecdotes about birthdays with bad endings, arguments about video game tournaments with unclear winners, terrible ideas that were everyone's fault and no one's fault.
You dream of family.
When you stir, the stories do not stop. Because Tuna and Naya are still telling them. So you sit, and you listen. And so does the lady in the tank, who isn't moving around nearly as much now but floats peacefully, sometimes cocking her head this way or that. Her dress looks so much like your mom's. And just like her, you float and drift and doze and dream and listen. For hours, as you hold an ornate purple guardrail, overlooking an ornate purple world, as you hold the cold, still hand of your cold, still sister,
And somehow, in a way you can't begin to understand, you know that she is not actually dead. And then you wake all the way up, and time starts moving again.
B. Terezi.
What exactly is so hard to understand about this, Jane?
You pull your sword out of her hand, grab her hand, and slam it down onto Vriska's chest.
Why are you even bothering?
Her mind screams through its eons of memory, bangs against its infinite walls, tries to find a way to what? To fucking what?
I can see the fucking future, Jane! I can see what you'll do, why you'll do it, and I know that you're gonna do this for me. It's all about motivation, Jane. It's about what you want and why you want it, and you are so simple, Jane. Or actually, to put it another way, you are so simple to me. Not just because I'm the anointed fucking messiah of knowing how people work, but because you and me are the exact fucking same. When you get right down to it. When you strip away all the bullshit, when you burn in the crucible and shake off the impurities, all the posturing, all the pretending to care, all the fucking lies, you and me want what we fucking want, and nothing else matters. And you think you want to die. You think you want that because you're having a bad day, because your memories are fucking with you, because you aren't thinking clearly, but don't worry. I can think clearly for the both of us, Jane. What else are best friends for? You see, it's so simple. You want to be happy. Isn't that pathetic? You know you don't deserve to be, but you don't care. You want it anyway. You're that selfish. Just like me.
You grab her by the throat.
And you know I won't ever stop making you miserable until you give me what I fucking want. You know it in your heart of hearts. You know it in your mind of minds. So stop throwing a fucking tantrum and do what you're told.
You press her face against Vriska's.
Fix this. I'm not gonna tell you again. Don't make me get out your old tiara, Jane. I don't think it would work on you anymore, but I'll try it. And if it doesn't, we can put you in a forever home. Is that what you want, Jane?
You give her a shake.
You want me to make you forget your own name made of life?
Her hands fly to Vriska's wounds in a blind, unthinking panic. Easy. You sigh as you watch her work. It's finally happening. Eons. Eons and eons and eons, and the ending is in sight. A very odd sensation snaps across your mind as the sylph of space experiences a bizarre discontinuity of time. What the fuck is... Her mind goes dark to you. Jane's mind goes dark to you. Your gaze whips to red glare, still prone, still motionless, but she has two fucking fronds. Your sword flies like a bullet from your hand and through her head. A bell tolls again. What the fuck does it take? You'll rip the ring off her finger, your goddamn self, in a minute. But in the meantime, not one, not two, but six minds open before you. One of them is Vriska Circuits, and the rest don't matter. Before her eyes even flutter open, you know something is wrong. When her eyes do flutter open, they make you want to claw your own out. Instead, you straddle her, take her prongs in yours, then her fronds, then her shoulders, then her head. You twine your fingers in her hair. She pulls back from you, not in disgust, not in hatred, but in confusion.
Who the fuck are you?
Her mind contains no light. None whatsoever. You turn to your best fucking friend. You open your mouth, but no words come out because no words matter. Nothing you can possibly do to Jane Crocker will make her undo what she just did. Because finally, at last, after eons and eons and eons, she is happy. Your name is Terezi Pyrope, and you are alone. Be the sylph of space. Your name is Kanaya Mariam. Thousands
of microscopic singularities rip through Terezi Pyrope's body from nug bone to nook. She falls in two twisted halves to the roof of KrakerCorp HQ, on either side of Friska Circuit. Through the implants in your auricular sponge clots, transmitted from the tiny low-fidelity microphone in the console of your tank, you hear, for the first time in your million sweeps of life, the toll of justice on a great cosmic bell. Be Jane. I lower my hand.
The Homestuck Fan Author Coalition is a place for authors to write, brainstorm, discuss, and collaborate. Link available in description. The music is .413 Repeating, composed and produced by Sam Gabriel. Special thanks to Sakiko. If you would like me to record a story, voiceover, or character, please get in touch with me using the contact information on my website, which is located at samgabrielvo.com. And there you can find links to other stories that I've read, my Discord server, and various ways to support me. And finally, as always, thank you for listening.